Catching up with Barry Goheen this morning on the Heritage Bank Marshall County Coaches Show. Barry's been kind enough to join us by telephone from his home in Atlanta, where he's an attorney. Barry, it's good to talk to you, and very pleased that you're able to join us.
I'm happy to do so. I really appreciate the chance to talk with you, Jeff, and look forward to a good conversation and hopefully walking through some very pleasant memories.
Barry Goheen is a true Marshall County legend. So many great memories of his career at Marshall County and then on at Vanderbilt, where he gained a national reputation as one of the most one of the greatest clutch players in the history of college basketball. And we'll talk some more about that as we go along. But you're a 1985 graduate of Marshall County High School. And Barry, talk about, of course, your dad was a member of the 1959 North Marshall State Championship team, was an outstanding player in his own right, played at Murray State. And talk about the love of the game that you acquired as a youngster growing up.
Well, I think it was in the blood because my dad did play in college, and I remember looking through old scrapbooks of his, both high school, you know, North Marshall, and college at Murray State, and just sort of that's from an very early age, when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, and you know, older than that, but at a very early age, I was just really subsumed, I think, with sports and the basketball being that, and then you know, baseball as well. My father's father was a longtime minor league pitcher, and kind of got to understand baseball from him, and then basketball from my father. So, you know, played both of those sports at Marshall County, and just loved and still love both of them.
Yeah, you talked about your dad, Benny Goheen, and your grandfather, Ty Goheen. He is also a member of the Marshall County Athletic Hall of Fame, as you are, and had quite the reputation, as you mentioned, as a baseball player. Your dad was sharing with me on this program when we interviewed him about his love for baseball, and he said you had a very great love of the game of baseball growing up too.
Absolutely, probably my favorite sport. I guess there's no probably. It is and was my favorite sport. For whatever reason, probably a good deal of that because of the St. Louis Cardinals as well, being so close, 3 hours away or so from St. Louis there in western Kentucky, and that's a great part of Cardinal Nation there, and I've carried that with me and wherever, you know, college and then on to in Nashville and then on to Atlanta. Those loyalties haven't wavered, and I think that was part of it, and, you know, just a very enjoyable game to play and also fun to watch. And so it was, as I said, I really just loved both of those. So in the summer, you know, this time of the year, I would be playing baseball, and of course in the winter time it was basketball. And you don't see that as much, I'm afraid, anymore when you get into your teenage years. Unfortunately, I think a lot of boys and girls are really required almost to pick one sport and do that kind of a 52 weeks out of the year and make that type of commitment to one sport, and that's kind of what seems to be required these days. And that's too bad, because I think, you know, playing both sports really helped me just understand different aspects of teamwork, and different athletic skills obviously are required with baseball and basketball. So I love them both, and I was better at basketball, and that's what I was able to play beyond high school, but that didn't diminish my love for baseball.
Barry Goheen joining us by telephone from his home in Atlanta, catching up with Barry and talking about his athletic career, and we'll talk about what he's been doing with his life since the game ended for him. He's become a very successful attorney in Atlanta and has a wonderful family. We'll talk about that as we go along. Barry, your career at Marshall County, talk about some of the more vivid memories that you have of your playing career at Marshall County High School.
I think 1984 would be which was my junior year, would be the year that really stands out of the three that I was at Marshall County. That was the year we made the boys team made the first trip, its first trip for the school since consolidation to the Sweet 16, and it was just an incredible year. It was Alan Hatcher's first year as the coach. I started as a junior. Four seniors were also starters: Kerry Allen, Tim Miller, Jerry Powell, Danny Butler, and it was just after we got off to a fairly uneven start. I think we were something like 6-4 after the Christmas tournament at Tillman, and they beat us in the final. And I think they beat us in the regular season the next week. So, 6-4, 7-5, something like that, fairly average record. And from that point, we won about 23 games in a row, beat Tillman twice. They were the number one team in the state and certainly in the region that year, including just an unbelievable game in the regional semifinals at Murray, which is still, even though we had just amazing college games at Vandy, that was one of the greatest games I was ever involved in, the 84 regional semis. And I think everybody else that was there would probably agree. We beat them in overtime, and then the next night, survived a real scare with Callaway County to win that game by a point, and then, made the trip to the state tournament. But that was just, the last couple of months of the season that year were just a real dream ride for everybody. Just a tremendous feeling and terrific teamwork. You could feel, and the girls team that year went undefeated and won the state. So you had both teams were just great. Just a great community feeling and community atmosphere coming together that year in 84. Just tremendous.
Yeah, really historic year. You mentioned the girls team and the undefeated year that they had. And the boys team making the program's first trip to the boys' Sweet 16. Talk about the atmosphere, Barry, of the games in those days. The Reed-Conder Gym was still relatively new. It was just a few years old at that time.
Right.
And talk about the atmosphere of the games back in those days.
It was phenomenal. It really was. I guess the gym seated, or probably, I guess it still does, 5,000 or so. And
yeah.
I mean, it was really, it was at least 80% full almost every time we played. And then for a game like Tillman, when they came in, which was sometime in February, and we had won, 12 or 14 in a row by the time we played them again, I mean, it was they were hanging from the rafters, and it was tremendous. Just the atmosphere was terrific. And, I've always been a firm believer in the crowd. The home crowd can really make you play better and really get you more energized, and that was a tremendous feeling to go out there and then to feel like all of these people within the community. Marshall County is a fairly big county from a geographic standpoint, so some people come fairly long way to see the games, and it was just a terrific feeling to be part of that atmosphere. The gym was fairly new. It was only 2 or 3 years old, and it really turned out to be one of those things that brought the community together, because of course they'd played at any one of the three gyms, North, South, or Benton, until the gym was built. So that gym had a huge effect on being able to, I think, to take the program, both the girls and the boys programs, to another level.
Barry Goheen is our guest, joining us by telephone from his home in Atlanta. Talk about playing for Alan Hatcher.
Well, Coach Hatcher was, I think, something special. He certainly did a lot for my personal career. I mean, he was a coach that emphasized, as an offense, or just as a general strategy, being very aggressive on the offensive end and trying to have a fast-breaking, aggressive type of offense, and that's fun. I mean, that's players want to play that. No one really wants to walk the ball up and throw the 22 passes and try to get a shot off. We had a very aggressive offense, whether off a made shot or a missed shot by the opponent, and it was an exciting brand of basketball. I mean, that was clearly one of the things that made people want to come watch us in the Reed-Conder Gym, was that we were just exciting to watch. And he was fun to play for. He was very intense, and you had to make a full commitment to the program when you signed on. But once you did, his track record coming to Marshall County, having coached in West Virginia and having coached a real great player named Mark Klein, who was a hot prospect the year before Alan came to Marshall County. I mean, he knew college coaches. He had gotten to know a lot of college coaches because of the recruitment of Klein, and that helped me a lot. You know, that helped him sell me, or he had a lot of credibility with collegiate coaches by the time I came up, and then people that came after me, whether it was Dan Hall or Barron or Dan Lange or whoever it was. You know, that was a big thing that he had back in those days, and he was a kind of the right coach at the right time for my career, I think.
It's interesting that you bring up about his style of play back in those days, and it was a fast break. It was a very high octane, if you will, type of game. And a lot of people, especially folks that are not old enough to remember those days, perhaps remember his teams at Graves County, that the style kind of evolved into more of a very deliberate type pace. Still very successful. He obviously can coach any type of style, continue to roll up championships. But a lot of people, I think, especially those that are of a younger generation, found it hard to believe that when he came to Marshall County, you guys were getting the ball up and down the floor.
We were. I mean, it was. We practiced a fast break, not necessarily off misses, but out of makes. So a ball goes in the basket. You know, the nearest person to the ball gets the ball to the point guard, Danny Butler. Gary Allen runs down one side, his right side, which is his strong side. I go down the left side, which is my strong side, being left-handed. And before you know it, you know, in about 10 seconds, we've got an open shot. You know, Gary hit a number of 16 to 18 footers, or I would drive to the basket if Danny got the ball to me. And, you know, we hopefully would have played enough defense that the other team had to work really hard to get a good basket. And then 10 seconds later, we've scored. You know, off a fast break, off a made goal, they've got to come back and try to score again, and it can be very demoralizing. And it was a very fun racehorse style of basketball that I think the fans, and I can guarantee you, the players appreciated playing.
Barry Goheen is our guest here on the Heritage Bank Marshall County Coaches Show. Senior year, 1985, and you make the decision to go to Vanderbilt. Kind of talk about the whole recruiting process and kind of take us through that, if you will.
Vandy was a school that academically, of course, was extremely highly regarded as it is now, and that was an important thing for me when I was looking at colleges, when it looked like I was going to have the ability to play basketball beyond high school. And Nashville, of course, is the closest large city to Western Kentucky, closer, say, than Louisville, St. Louis, so forth and so on. So there was a proximity advantage there as well. And they played in the SEC, which in the 80s was really one of the top two or three conferences in the country. And the only thing Vandy didn't have going for it at that time was it really had not been all that competitive in the SEC for a few years. And, you know, happily, that's, you know, I and others that went down there around the same time were able to, you know, and lift that program up. And by the time we were seniors, we were challenging for the SEC championship. So once C.M. Newton, my coach, you know, started reaching out to me, or reaching out to Coach Hatcher, who would reach out to me, I guess that's the way it, you know, the appropriate way to do it and to say it. You know, they immediately became in the lead.
Barry Goheen is our guest here on the Heritage Bank Marshall County Coaches Show. We want to spend some time talking about his career at Vanderbilt when we come back in just a moment. Spending some time with Barry Goheen, and again, very appreciative of the fact of him taking time out of his busy schedule to join us from his home by telephone in Atlanta. Barry, when we left off at the end of the last segment, we were talking about you making the decision to go to Vanderbilt, and you're right. The guys, you and the guys that you played with throughout the course of your career at Vanderbilt, they became a major power in the SEC.
That's true. And the year before I came, which is 1985, my senior year in high school, Vandy was in last place in the SEC, 4-14, lost 11 games in a row in the league at one point. My freshman year, we got a little better, went to 7-11, which isn't much, but we weren't in last place. The next year, we beat Indiana, the only team to beat them outside the Big Ten, and that was the year Indiana won the national championship with Steve Alford and Keith Smart hitting a last-second shot to beat Syracuse in the Superdome in New Orleans. And we went to the NIT and made the quarterfinals of the NIT, so more improvement. And then the next year, when I was a junior, a lot like my junior year in high school, we kind of really hit the mother load. We made the Sweet 16, beat North Carolina, which was the number one team at the time, beat Kentucky, which had not happened at Vanderbilt since like 1981, beat other good teams, of course, beat Pittsburgh in a dramatic game in the NCAA tournament. And the year after that, we improved again to 12-6 in the SEC and finished one game out of the title and went back to the NCAA, first time Vandy had ever gone to back-to-back NCAAs. So really, you know, we were very proud of what we were able to do. You know, it was fun to go down there and gratifying to get the chance to play at a highly regarded academic school, but you want to win, too. You know, you just don't want to go down there and not be a factor and just have LSU or Kentucky or Florida or whoever use you as a punching bag all the time. You want to be able to beat them, and we were able to do that eventually, and it was very satisfying to do that.
You mentioned the NCAA win against Pittsburgh, and I think that win propelled you guys into the Sweet 16 that year. Talk about that game, because that is one of the great finishes and regulation to an NCAA tournament game in history. You hit a couple of threes in the last few seconds, including one that beats the buzzer to send the game into overtime. Vanderbilt wins in overtime, and that was a terrific Pittsburgh team. A lot of great players that went on and played in the NBA. Talk about that game.
Well, it is probably the most memorable of the games, I guess, that probably the Vanderbilt fan remembers during that era, even though we, as I said, beat Indiana, North Carolina, had some other great wins. But that, that being in the NCAA really does kind of always make for a pleasant walk down memory lane, I think, for Vanderbilt people. Pitt was a great team. Charles Smith was the number three pick that later that year in the draft. Jerome Lane was a Barkley like forward. He was a first-round draft pick, led the nation in rebounding. They had great class of freshmen, including Sean Miller, who's now the coach at Arizona and doing a great job there. He was a freshman of the year in the Big East. I mean, it was just a really, really good team. And they had a lot of a lot of things going for them. They won the Big East regular season outright, and that was the best conference going on during that time. They were the kind of the kings of the hill. So we went toe-to-toe with them, and we were down by four, I guess, with a few seconds to go, and I hit a three-pointer, and that brought us to one, called timeout. They got the ball in. We fouled. It was Will Perdue, who was our star center, fouled, but he fouled out, so he was on the bench. Charles Smith hit two free throws. They're up three, and then I hit the second three-pointer at the buzzer to send the game into overtime. And a lot of people sometimes forget that Will was on the bench for that overtime period, and we had to take on Pitt without our best player. But we did, and we beat them. Beat them in overtime by six, and that did put us in the Sweet 16. First time Vandy had won two games in the NCAA tournament, and that really was something that took the Vanderbilt program to the next level, national exposure, national recognition, and that was just a tremendous, tremendous win. When we flew back that night, and the game was in Lincoln, Nebraska, flew into the Nashville airport, it seemed like the host town of Nashville was there. It was the most surreal, incredible scene I think I've ever witnessed. It was just an incredible outpouring of enthusiasm and excitement, which is, again, I said this a couple of years ago at the Hall of Fame induction, and the best college fans. I don't think many people get that opportunity, but I did, and was very, very fortunate. And that Pittsburgh game and the aftermath of that demonstrated how passionate Vanderbilt fans are for the basketball team.
Barry Goheen joining us by telephone. Barry, one thing that I think I caught the tail end of, your phone cut out there for just a moment, caught the tail end of you mentioning that a lot of people may not remember is the fact that on that Pittsburgh team, John Calipari was the lead assistant on that team.
He was. He was. You can, you know, that those final few seconds are, I'm told, available. And if you, like, virally, and you can go in there, and there's a very quick scanning of the bench right before the final shot in regulation, well, I guess before one of Smith's free throws that led to the final shot, and you can see him. He doesn't look quite like he does now, but you can see him. I met Coach Cal a few years ago at the Final Four and for the first time, and let's put it this way, he hasn't forgotten that game.
Barry Goheen is our guest. Barry, I think I was reading, somebody told me you hit, what was it, 8 last-second shots during your career at Vanderbilt, which is just remarkable. That's an amazing number of times to do that. We talked about the Pittsburgh game. You hit the half-court shot that beat Louisville 1 year. Of all of those, do you have a particular favorite? Is there one that you kind of look back on and you look on it more fondly than perhaps some of the others?
Yeah, that's a tough question, but there are three to be sure, and Pitt is one of them, and Louisville is the other. It was the home state school; they were a ranked team, just like Pitt was, and then it was a half court shot. You can't honestly expect to make those very often. That was a little fluky, but it was Louisville, and growing up in Kentucky, that one was extremely exciting. And then later in my senior year, and one that I still get reminded of living in Atlanta, was one against Georgia at Memorial Gym, where we were behind by 2 with a few seconds to go, and I got the ball with a few seconds left and had a pretty wide open shot from about 10 feet and just decided to dribble behind the three-point line and launch a 3 for the win. It went in right at the buzzer, and we won the game. And that was one that was one of those I can't believe I did that, or what was I thinking? But it turned out okay. But that was one that one was pretty memorable. And as I said, living in Georgia, I occasionally get reminded of that one.
Enjoying spending some time with Barry Goheen and listening to the stories of his great career at Marshall County and at Vanderbilt. Want to get to another timeout here, and on the other side of the break, we'll talk about life since basketball for Barry Goheen when the Heritage Bank Marshall County Coaches Show continues. Back with Barry Goheen this morning, our guest on the Heritage Bank Marshall County Coaches Show. Barry joining us by telephone from his home in Atlanta. We've talked about his career at Marshall County, his career at Vanderbilt. He is not only a Marshall County legend, he was named a Southeastern Conference legend a few years back. Hit so many great, memorable shots during his career at Vanderbilt and also at Marshall County. And I'll give you maybe a blast from the past, a guy you might remember that's a friend of mine named Steve Roof, who played for St. Mary back during the days you were playing for Marshall County. He shared with me about some of those great games that you guys had with St. Mary. And he said, he couldn't remember how many times that it got down to the last part of the game, and Barry Goheen would find a way to make a play for Marshall County. I'm sure you remember some of those games, too.
Well, one of them was against St. Mary and Steve's team, actually, when I was a senior. We trailed most of the game, and then, I don't remember all the particulars, but we got into a position where we could tie the game, and I hit a shot that tied it, that sent it in overtime, and we beat him in overtime. But I'll say this, Steve was kind of the opposite of me, I think. I mean, he was very good at baseball and basketball and a very good basketball player, but he was a terrific baseball player. Of course, the family name everybody knows about in Western Kentucky, but he was a terrific pitcher and a terrific all-around athlete and just a good person. So it's good to kind of hear that blast from the past.
Barry Goheen joining us this morning on the program. Barry, you're an attorney in Atlanta. And you told me, I did an interview with you a number of years ago. In fact, I think it may have been about the time that Dan Lange signed to play at Vanderbilt, and they had an event out at the high school, and I think there was a game matching up some former players from Vanderbilt against some former players from Kentucky. You were there as a guest that day, and I think perhaps you told me during that interview that once your career at Vanderbilt was over, you were done with the game for a while, right?
That's pretty much correct. I kind of adopted the view that it could never get any better than it got at Vanderbilt than Marshall County High School. I mean, it was because for the things we've just been talking about. Fans were great. Some incredibly memorable games. You know, the teams did really well, beat great teams, accomplished things that those schools had not accomplished before. So, you know, when that's over, there's really not a whole lot to be gained by just going out there and playing pickup games or just horsing around or whatever. So that's right. I more or less just, you know, walked away and wanted to do something else.
So you're an attorney. How long have you been in Atlanta?
I've been in Atlanta for about 15 and a half, closer to 16 years, I guess. I came down and relocated from Nashville to Atlanta about a month or two after the Olympics. I left Atlanta in 1996.
And you have a wife and two daughters, right?
I do. Their daughters are 9 and 8, and they are a lot of fun. They're good ages and enjoy doing things with them, and you know, they're a heck of a lot of fun.
Now, you are chairman of the Atlanta Tip-Off Club and have been for a few years. So we see you the night of the national championship game during halftime presenting the Naismith Award for Player of the Year, Coach of the Year. Talk about how you got involved in that and some of the neat stories behind that.
I got involved with the Atlanta Tip-Off Club probably 7 or 8 years ago. One of my then law partners at the firm I practiced law at in Atlanta actually played basketball for North Carolina on some of Dean Smith's first teams. And he went on to law school and a terrific legal career, and he was instrumental in bringing the Olympics to Atlanta, one of the several 6 or 7 individuals that really were instrumental in that endeavor. But in any event, he was involved in both the Atlanta Sports Council and to some extent the Tip-Off Club, and he kind of asked me to get involved with as he was winding down his law practice and getting kind of to phase out of the Sports Council and the Tip-Off Club. And so I came on to replace him, and that was probably in 04 or 05, and then I became the chairman of the Tip-Off Club in, I think it's 2009 perhaps. So, yes, there is kind of a blink and you miss him type of view there at the halftime of the championship game at the Final Four. We give out the award. We announce the winner at an event on the Sunday between Saturday and Monday, and they just put a little 5 or 6 second clip of that. They show it at halftime of the game. So it's a lot of fun. I've gotten to meet a lot of terrific people, and I'm very encouraged by the people that I have presented the award to over the last 4 or 5 years have been outstanding young men that have been very good to deal with. 2011, for example, was Jimmer Fredette. 2010 was Evan Turner. 2009 was Blake Griffin. 2012, of course, was Anthony Davis, first time that a Kentucky player had ever won the Naismith Award, which goes back to 1969. They are all tremendous young men, and as I said, that's to me is encouraging as a former college basketball player, and that's what I like about the Tip-Off Club. That's the way for me to stay involved in basketball without actually having to dribble.
Do you you mentioned running into Coach Calipari and talking to him about that great game between Vanderbilt and Pittsburgh in the NCAA tournament in 1988? I guess it gives you an opportunity to see coaches, players perhaps that you played against, rekindle old relationships perhaps, or maybe establish relationships with people that you just kind of knew in competition back in those days, doesn't it?
That's right. Both are correct. This past year, a couple of months ago, when we gave the award to Anthony Davis. Of course, Coach Calipari was there with him and got to say hello. And again, as I said, this was the Sunday between the two, so wished him good luck at the game the next night, but also saw Coach Self, who is an extremely nice gentleman, and of course, the opponent of Kentucky, coaching Kansas the next night. And he's a fine man and a fine coach. Also, this past year, Coach Joe Hall was inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame, and he was recognized at the same event where we gave out our award to Anthony Davis. So I said hello to Coach Hall and said, "You probably don't remember me." And before I could continue on, he goes, "Hey, Barry, how are you? How are you doing?" And he remembered, my high school days and things like that. So you're right, it's a chance to reacquaint with some people that I haven't seen in a while. And you're also correct, it's a chance to establish new relationships with people within basketball. So it's a gratifying moonlighting job.
Barry Goheen is our guest. Barry, we talked about the fact that you're an attorney practicing there in Atlanta. Do you have a specialty of law that you deal with?
I do. It's I'm what's called a litigator, which is essentially someone who tries to resolve disputes after lawsuits have been filed, and if they have to be tried in a court, then I'll try those cases as well. But very, very few cases really go to trial. But I work as a litigator, and as I said, represent those that typically on the defense side that have been sued, and again try to work through the issues that led to the lawsuit, work with the counsel for the other side and trying to reach a resolution, and have been doing that really since I started practice, which was in Nashville for a couple of years after I got out of law school in 1994.
Do you get the opportunity to keep up with Marshall County in particular as far as the basketball team and so forth?
I don't, not as much as I would like to. I generally get that through my dad. You know, I understand they've been to the state tournament the last couple of years, and last year, not this past year, but 2011, I think it was the first time they'd been in quite a while.
Maybe yeah, 16 years,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great to hear. I mean, I love that they've gotten, it appears that the boys program has gotten back to kind of where it was there in the 80s when we had that first run, and then, again, with guys like Birdsong and Cochran and Dan Hall and Aaron, and then later on Laney, just they were kind of the kings of the frontier there for several years. And it looks like the program is right around there right now. So I'm very, very happy to hear that.
Well, Barry Goheen, certainly has been a pleasure spending some time reminiscing with you and talking about your remarkable life and your remarkable career. And I certainly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to do this with us.
Happy to do it. Appreciate your time, Jeff.